Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. There's big trouble in MAGA world. Donald Trump's changing positions on Israel's unprovoked war on Iran has many of the president's supporters confused, despondent, and even furious. For a decade now, Trump has claimed to be anti-war and a peacemaker. Then, why is he following in the footsteps of John McCain? Crosstalking MAGA, I'm joined by my guest, Michael Scheuer, in Virginia. He is the former head of the Bin Laden issue station at the CIA. In Kingston, we have Gerald Salenti. He is founder and director of the Trends Research Institute. And in Los Angeles, we cross to Ron Placone. He is a comedian and filmmaker. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Michael, I really need help in making sense of what's going on around us at this very dangerous time. Let's start out with an economist YouGov poll of Americans. Just 16% of Americans want U.S. involvement in the Israel-Iran war, which Israel started. Also in the same poll, there is not one single U.S. demographic that supports war with Iran. That means men, women, old, young, all the different races, everything. There's not one single demographic here that is in support of this. So what is Donald Trump deciding, as he keeps telling us? Michael.
Well, it shows you the very strong erosion of the U.S. Constitution, because he believes he's a warlord, as have all of our presidents since Harry Truman. And they think wars are something they decide and we don't ask the Congress about it. I think it also most disturbingly, shows the power of the Israeli lobby in the United States and of the Israeli government. And probably mixed in here somewhere is some of the compromising materials that were filmed by Jeffrey Epstein. So this is an enormous stupidity. Iran is 6,000 miles away from us. It's not coming here. Whether Israel survives or not has always been its own business. There's no such thing as the right to survive as a nation, or a right to exist, rather. You exist if you have an economy that works, a kind of a sociable or at least friendly domestic population, and you're strong enough to defend yourselves. If you're not, you die. That's the way history goes.
Well, Gerald, you know, to add on to this, you know, Trump's own intel community keeps telling him that there is no evidence Iran is chasing the bomb, creating all the requirements to create a nuclear deterrent. I mean, there's no. And then Tulsi Gabbard, he doesn't want to listen to his own intel people. I mean, she should either resign or be fired or something. I mean, she's irrelevant in all of this. The IAEA, as compromised as it is, has said exactly the same thing in the last news cycle. So again, what is there to decide, Gerald?
And don't you remember where Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction? And all the proof was there that he never had them? I'm the president. What are you talking about, all right? Yeah, I'm in charge. I'm running this country. I'll tell you what to do. That's all it is. He could care less about anything. But I do believe that this is going to be very serious. And the question is, will the United States get involved in this and continue to support Israel's attack on Iran and get militarily involved in it? And that's where I think the agencies are coming into this, particularly the military, and say, listen, we get involved in this, it's going to really hurt us. I think that might be the only thing slowing him down. But other than that, he could care less about what anybody says, what anybody wants. He's an egotist. He's a narcissist. I'm the same age as Trump. One of the greatest threats when I was a kid, grew up in the Bronx, you little SOB, we had enough of your crap. You're going to military school.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Trump was so arrogant. This little spoiled daddy's boy, born on third base, hit a home run. They sent him to military school in Cornwall, New York. It's just about 30 minutes south of where I am, in the middle of nowhere. Now, imagine yourself as a teenager dressed up in a stupid drag, Time to get up. Time to go to bed. Eat this. Do that. Do this. All you want to think about are chicks, cars, sports, and you're in military school. I'm mentioning this because he was so narcissistic, he's out of control. And he's only concerned about himself.
Well, out of control or he being controlled? That is the question here. Ron, I haven't disagreed with anything said here so far, but I mean, this is a process of self-destruction. I mean, his own base, and we can go through the names. I mean, Tucker Carlson is a very good example. Steve Bannon, what is he saying here? Trump's enemies are working to destroy MAGA with their war on Iran. That's hard to disagree with as well here. So, I mean, if he destroys his base, he's destroying his presidency, essentially. Does he care, Ron?
I don't know if he does care, Peter. I mean, this is a guy who, yeah, his own base is pretty divided on this because you have a lot of people who are looking around going, wait a second, this is not what we thought we were voting for. You have other people who are quite literally following the cult because they drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago. The whole concept of MAGA was just a bogus thing out the gate, has been the case for many, many years. The whole idea, if you look into the real history of populism, the whole idea of right-wing populism is an oxymoron. It makes no sense. It's like saying wet fire. It's basically nothing. It's just a branding shtick. And about 9 years ago, the American people were ready for a real populist turn. That was denied to them, so they got a fake one instead.
Ron, let's mention what the populist alternative was. You didn't name names.
Bernie Sanders.
And those voters, they went for Trump later. Okay, that's what happened. Some of them did.
Yeah, some of them did. I mean, a lot of people, that was their first, a lot of people in the Bernie movement in 2016, that was kind of their first intro to American politics. And, you know, a lot of them, yeah, did get sucked into MAGA. Not all, but yeah, some did. And it was a shame. I mean, a lot of us on the left who kind of finally felt like we had a chance at some electoral representation for the first time ever, we're looking around going, oh, geez, how did this happen? And we're still kind of doing the autopsy. Domestically, he's been an absolute disaster, and he doesn't care about anything. I live in Los Angeles. He ordered an illegal attack on Los Angeles a little over a week ago. We had our own situation because ICE is just going crazy here, and they're just pulling families away from each other. They're invading schools. They're in disguises. This whole atmosphere has allowed for literal political assassinations like we saw in Minnesota. And there's just no accountability. One thing we've learned from all this, the law doesn't matter much if you don't have anybody who's going to enforce it. This guy breaks the law on the daily, and nothing, no one does anything about it. The pushback is little to nil. This is basically the same playbook that happened in Mussolini's Italy. So
basically
that's what we're going through right now.
Go ahead, Michael. Jump in, Michael.
It's basically the same book that Biden taught us. If that's your position, that's an idiot position. Sanders would have ruined this whole country even faster than Biden because he's an idiot. He might be a popular idiot, but he's still an idiot.
Yeah, but we're not going to debate Bernie Sanders on this program.
Right.
But my point, and Michael, all I want to say to you, which is really important, is that the population, the voters, were denied that choice. That's what I think we would all agree with, okay? Would have he been a good president or a bad president? I don't know, because he wasn't allowed to get the nomination. It was rigged against him. The election against Donald Trump in 2020 was rigged in many aspects as well, okay? Again, my major point is here, starting out with these polls, is that popular consent is not involved here, Michael. Take it away. Go ahead.
Absolutely not. We don't have any representatives in Washington speaking for the people. They're paid by the Israelis. They're paid by other people constantly. There's no such thing as representatives. And look at our Constitution. I read the other day that each representative now represents about 740,000 people. And since 9/11, you can't get through on the phone. This is an idiot situation. Nobody is perfect. But in terms of what was done to the country in the last 4 years, why would anybody on earth ever vote for a Democrat?
Okay, all right. Okay, but let's stick with, you know, let me go to Gerald here. Donald Trump said he was not going to start any new war. Let's go empirically here, okay? And what happened? It happened like about two and a half weeks ago. He flipped. Why?
Well, he flipped before that. Matter of fact, you know, we have a magazine, the Trends Journal, and the cover was Donald Trump, a man of peace or a piece of S-H-I, you know what? And we had his quotes about what he said about when he was running for president and how he was going to be a peace candidate when he got inaugurated, on and on and on. And then the first thing he came out with, I'm going to annihilate those Houthis. And one thing after another. He's a liar. He just does what he says he's going to do.
He's a liar, or does he believe in anything, Gerald?
He believes in himself. Wherever his mind goes, and who knows where it goes. And I agree with Michael 1,000%. It's not a political system. It's a crime syndicate. They're murderers and thieves. They steal your money. Hey, I'm Jamie Dimon. I only got convicted of 5 felonies. I'm J.P. Morgan Chase. What happened when the markets busted in 2007, 2008? The Federal Reserve only gave the banksters what? $29 trillion? Murderers and thieves. How many more wars do we have to go through? Again, look what's going on.
The way things are going here, this might be the last one here. I mean, you don't have to be a geopolitical strategist to understand the implications, the cascade effect, if Donald Trump green lights active American involvement in this war. All right, I'm going to interrupt myself, gentlemen. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on what's going on with MAGA. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing the situation within MAGA. Okay, let's go back to Ron in Los Angeles. I said in my introduction, highly critical of Trump's so-called decision-making process, which is so opaque, it's startling. Where is the national address? Where is the national emergency here? Why is the United States getting involved when a third country attacked another country? The United States has not been attacked. The United States actually was involved in the attack on Iran on the side of Israel. Where is the emergency? Where is the national address? Which leads me to say, as I said in my introduction, why do we always end up with John McCain?
Yeah, I mean, Peter, when it comes to foreign policy especially, public opinion is not even an afterthought, and they don't even pretend. And you have seen it time and time again. You've seen it with George W. Bush when Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. You saw it with Barack Obama when he was just a smooth-talking guy, but he was still bombing 9 countries. You saw it with Joe Biden, when he led us into a foreign policy disaster while falling short on domestic promises at home. And now you're seeing it with Donald Trump. And in many ways, this is the fruition of what he wanted to do the first time. See, the first Trump administration was pretty much chaos because it was just a bunch of narcissists going at each other's throats. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. So he wanted his war with Iran. He didn't get it the first time. So now he's going after it now. And public opinion isn't even thought of. That's been United States foreign policy for as long as I've been alive. And counting. That's just the way it's been. You brought up Tulsi Gabbard in this whole thing. Tulsi Gabbard changes her political opinions the same way someone else changes a pair of socks. What will she do at the end of this? Will she step down and resign? I think out of principle she should. Will she? I have no idea. She'll do whatever makes the most sense for her politically, because that's all she ever does, which is basically what 99.9% of politicians in the United States do. It is just a Wall Street-sponsored scam. And we're really seeing it in full play here. This is one of those things, my entire lifetime, we have just been living in a ping pong volley between neoliberalism and straight up fascism. And one leads to the other 100% of the time. And now we're in a pretty sharp fascist wave. And it just increases in severity with each passing cycle.
You know, Michael, it seems patently obvious to me. Please feel free to disagree if you wish. But Israel started this war with the belief that the Americans would finish it. Finish it, I say, in air quotes. What does that mean? When do these wars ever end? But that was the calculus that the United States, irrespective of public opinion, irrespective of Trump's public announcements, the United States is going to swoop in and save Israel's bacon, as it were. Is that correct?
In my experience, when I worked at the agency for over 20 years, absolutely. If the Israelis didn't get what they wanted from the agency, they called the White House, and the White House ordered us to do what the Israelis wanted. I think one issue we haven't hit on is, why would Trump trust the military to win? We haven't won a war since 1945. We've been beaten by everybody on Earth. We've proven in Iraq and Afghanistan you can't bomb a country to death unless you use atomic weapons. So within the government, he doesn't even command the government, as far as I can tell. The bureaucracy still does what it does. The punishable haven't been punished. And he doesn't seem to have a knack for understanding that America first does not mean isolation. It means minding our own business. He's had 120 days to dump the Israelis and to dump the Zelensky mob, and he hasn't done it. And to my mind, that's a terrible indictment of this administration right off the bat. And if you add a war to it, the Iranians are tough people. You're not going to beat them by aircraft. You're going to have to beat them on the ground. And if we haven't beaten anyone on the ground, Peter.
Well, Michael, if I can stay with you, if Trump gives the go to start direct hostilities, the U.S. is already indirectly at war with Iran. It has been for decades. But everyone knows, American fighter jets with Americans flying them over Iran, that kind of direct. The number 50, 60,000 troops, American troops in the region, well, they could be eviscerated very quickly, very easily. Does that weigh on the mind of Donald Trump?
Oh, I'm sure it does, but not to the extent of undermining the warlord nature of the presidency. Trying to figure out, Peter, more simply, what threat does Iran pose to us?
None.
Had it not been for open borders, now everybody has a fighting unit in the United States. On the whole, it's 6,300 miles from Washington, D.C. What are the Iranians going to do with us? They're going to float over here on inner tubes or what? And but to count on our ground forces outside of the Marines is insane.
Well, I mean, it begs the question, Gerald, what is the strategy? How is victory defined? I mean, the victory if things go as bad as we think they may, victory for Iran is to survive, and I think it will. In what shape, we have no idea. Will Israel survive in the current form that it's in? That's a big question right now. And then does the region just... And then let's talk about oil prices, everyone. Let's talk about what you pay at the pump here. I mean, we could spend hours on this program talking about the knock-on effect of what could happen. And you know what, gentlemen? A lot of people already know that. That's why the United States, even though at the wishing of Israel, has not attacked Iran because of the consequences. Gerald.
Well, I agree that again, I believe that the military is telling Trump, that's just, I don't know, but I believe that they're telling him, don't get involved in this militarily, because it's going to be a disaster. Again, as Michael said, we have not won a war since World War II. And you know, I just want to make it clear about the hypocrisy of Trump. And you just said, this is just some of his quotes. We want to have peace on earth all over. This was in September last year. We are going to have peace through strength. We will not have to fight. I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars. I want immediate peace. I'm moving to end wars. The planet to peace. I want peace. It goes on and on. I mean, he says this stuff. He does what he wants. And by the way, he doesn't care about the people that are against him in the administration or anything. He's only in office for 5 months. What does he have, 3 years, 7 months left? He could care less. And there's a lot. And again, I believe there's going to be, if United States get involved in this, there's going to be, Israel's going to launch the Samson option.
Well, I'm glad, Gerald, I'm glad you brought that up because rapidly running out of time. Ron, I mean, the use of, say, the claim that Iran wants the bomb. Well, the country in the region that does have the bomb is Israel. And again, I was saying with Michael here, what is victory? What is the end game here? I mean, if it's to be or not to be, then Israel has the nuclear stockpile, not Iran.
Yeah, I don't think there is an end game, much like there wasn't an end game to the quote-unquote war on terror, much like there isn't an end game to basically any of our foreign policy pursuits. Smedley Butler wrote the book a long time ago, War is a Racket. The end game is increasing the stocks for the war machine and benefiting the elite few who get rich off of the war machine. This is just another chapter of all of that. Meanwhile, we will suffer immensely all around the world and especially domestically. I mean, you mentioned the price of gas. I mean, here in California, they're estimating it could go up to $8 at some point around 2026. So this is an absolute disaster. And this is, we've heard this playbook before. We've seen this movie before. We know how it ends. It doesn't go well, but here we are again, and the people are just looking around going, what do we do? You know, we did have historic levels of protest here in the United States just a week ago. That is encouraging. People are kind of paying attention, but that needs to lead to something a little more than we'll show up and vote or something like that. It needs to lead to true systemic change, which I think you can only get that through a general strike. So I think we're in a very, very, very climatic time as a country. We have all of these issues facing us all at once. No solutions in sight. Meanwhile, our social systems, which were not great to begin with, are being eroded further. And United States politics is just so vapid in the messaging sense that you have people on both sides of the aisle, whether it's for Wall Street sponsor Team D or Wall Street sponsor Team R, who engage in this political fan fiction telling you, oh, yeah, no, Trump's going to be a peacemaker, or, oh, yeah, no, the Democrats are never at fault for anything. It's always somebody else's fault but them. Just shut up and vote for them again. Right. Don't ask questions. Right, no progressives.
Peter, I will humbly
mention that for anyone in Los Angeles, I do have a play running as part of the Hollywood Fringe. You can get information at my website, ronflacone.com, and my movie Left at Wall is out now. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Michael, why should citizens vote anymore?
Well, that's getting to be a very good question, Peter. I think you have to continue to play the process and to push it as hard as you can. What's the option? And I think one more thing I just like to say is part of the problem we have in the United States is our educational system.
Oh, yeah.
Osama bin Laden was the best teacher for the United States in terms of foreign policy that you could imagine. And he basically said, you're not hated because of what you do at home, whether it's X movies or alcohol or all the other things Obama and Clinton and the rest of them came up with. He said, you're hated because you're here. And our policy in the Middle East makes no sense with that rock solid belief in that region that the only place for us is in North America. And so we take these things and we keep going just ignorant of the enemy.
Yeah, I was brought up on Indiana Jones, that was Leon Uris. That's what they taught us, okay? And this is what it's brought, okay? Gentlemen, fascinating discussion. We've run out of time. I want to thank my guests in Virginia, Los Angeles, and in Kingston. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. And remember, Crosstalk Rules.